Our lesson today comes from Luke chapter 14, 25 through 33. And I'm going to warn you right now, this is one of the most difficult and scariest passages in the Bible. Hear God's word. One day, when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple." Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new home, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then you run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. "He started something he couldn't finish." Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, this last week was the beginning of a new year down at Princeton Seminary. Classes started, and it is kind of strange in a way for me because it marks 25 years that I came out here. 25 years ago, when God really put me to the test and said, "Time to leave your family in California. Time to leave what is comfortable and safe. Time to uproot and follow me to New Jersey." It was a scary time. And as a single mom with two little kids trying to figure out how to make ends meet, how to somehow hold things together, how to work, how to be a mom, how to be a student, we moved into that little apartment and we lived literally out of laundry baskets. I curb shopped for most of our furniture. But somehow we had everything that we needed. And God provided it all. It was difficult. And I had to hang in there sometimes during some tough times. But he made it happen. Because I trusted. This last Friday, I was exhausted. It was a long week, long hours. My wonderful husband, Tim, left midweek for Florida to celebrate his mom's birthday, big family reunion. So that added a few more things. So by the time it was Friday night, I was like so ready to come home. And late in the afternoon, I get a call from one of our professors who, unfortunately, had a little thumb drive that had somehow fallen inside one of our magic carts full of equipment. And he needed to get it out because there were things on that little thumb drive that he needed to work on this weekend to prepare for his classes for next week. Well, as it turned out, the class that was in there wasn't going to be out until fairly late. So we had to wait. My staff had gone home. I knew I had to be the one to stay and somehow get it out. I grabbed the keys that were marked to be the ones to get into that cabinet. And as you go in this beautiful lectern, it has these glass doors, so you can see inside, and you could see down at the bottom where this little thumb drive was. But the keys didn't work. So I run back to the office, and I get two other keys that might possibly work, and I come back, and they don't work either. And we look at each other, what are we going to do? How are we going to get this thing out of there? It's so close, we can see it. And there's this little tiny opening in the glass, oh, about maybe 2 inches tall and maybe 18 inches wide. And the professor is sticking his arm down in, and it's so close, but it's like about a foot above where that thumb drive is. And he's trying, and he just can't make it. Meanwhile, I'm looking around all over the place. I see a hanger on a coat rack. I'm thinking, is there a way to use the hanger to fish it out? We're looking, trying to be creative, and he says, I'm going home, I'm going to get my chopsticks. Maybe I can get it out with that. Fortunately, he lived within walking distance, though I think he ran both directions. And he comes back with the biggest, longest pair of chopsticks I've ever seen in my life. They're huge. They're at least about 18 inches. And so fortunately, he's good with chopsticks. And he's reaching in there with the chopsticks and maneuvering them. But the problem is that little thumb drive, it's so slippery that even when he gets it, he can't hang on to it. So we're fiddling around. I've got my hand in there. We're on our hands and knees on the floor, fiddling, trying to do things. And we see it drop over and over and over. And it hits me. In one of the closets, I'd seen some gaffer's tape, which is a cloth, really strong tape that was holding a cabinet door closed. So I went in and I pulled it off and I tore off a couple of sections of the tape. And I came back and I wrapped it around the end with a sticky side out in hopes that this would do it. We thought this was going to be the solution. So again, he's fiddling. It almost, and we'd see it come up a couple of inches and drop. Come up, drop. We were so close. Then it hits me. We need more surface. So I take the tape off and I slip it on the chubby ends of the chopstick, hoping that maybe we'll get a little bit more stickiness. And so again, we see it drop several times, and then I've got my hand in there. Okay, if you can just hold it enough to get it in my hand, we try. It took us over an hour, but you should have seen the joy, the exuberance, when we finally got it out of the cabinet. We were successful. Okay. Now you're sitting here thinking to yourself, why would anybody put that kind of time into just getting a little, wait till Monday? I mean, you know. But how many of us, we get into something and we work so hard for it. And there is such joy in seeing a successful outcome. We all have passions for things. We all have interests in things. We all find ourselves sticking to it for certain things. And then other things just kind of go by the wayside. And the question that Jesus was putting in front of all those folks sitting out there was, where is your passion? What is your love? What is most important in your life? Now, in some parts of some translations of this passage, they literally use the word hate. You need to hate your family, your mother, your father, your children, your sisters, your brothers. But what is actually meant by that was not literally hate, but Jesus was saying, you've got to have your priorities straight. It's not a rejection of family so much as it is knowing that your absolute first priority has to be God and where God is directing you. This morning, we read Psalm 139 a little while ago. which talks about how God knows us before we're even born. He knows every detail about us from the time that we're conceived. He knows us better than we know ourselves. It's why you'll hear me say so often about being a parent is that we're really just the nannies. As much as we love our kids, God loves them even more. And parenting, that's another example of those situations like building the home where when we get into it, we never realize fully the cost. But there is a cost and requires a dedication and a commitment. And what Jesus is saying is our number one commitment has to be to God. Even if we call ourselves Christians, yes, we're saved. And our salvation, yes, is free. God loves us. He wants us part of the family. But Jesus is saying, don't stop there. There is so much more. There is more in terms of the challenges, but there is also more in terms of the joy and the satisfaction. Each of us, our lives are so short. We come up this week on 9/11. That was a time that many of us remember all too well. It was a time that really shook us up. It was a time when people were really asking themselves, as with any big change or loss, why am I here and what is this life really all about? It brought us to a sense of our own mortality and the realization that things can change in an instant. So what are we doing with our lives? Sometimes we get stuck because we think that, well, if we're going to do something, then we need these resources. And I don't have them, so I can't be the one. It's a wonderful story about people who were, I think it was Frederick Buechner was telling about his wife's great-grandfather, a man by the name of George Shinn. And Shinn was a pastor back in the 1880s. And one night he was summoned at midnight to the bedside of a woman who lived by herself, and she had little money, few friends, and she was dying. And she told Shinn that all she wanted was just for another woman to just come and sit and just be with her in those final moments of her life. And so the pastor got some people together and they went door to door, knocking, tossing stones at the windows, trying to wake up, trying to get someone, just one person, just one woman, just to come and sit with this woman in those final moments of her life. And all they got were no's until they finally reached this house of an Irish woman who had a large brood of children, as he describes it. And they rapped on the door, and she stuck her head out and asked who was there and what they wanted that time of the night. And they told her the situation. And they said, "Will you come?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "I'll come and I'll do the best I can." And she did. She did the best she could. That's what we're called to do. To put Jesus first and to do the best we can. To be willing. To be willing. We're a little church. There are a lot of people who would say we're too small to accomplish much of anything. And yet, as we shared earlier, just by our commitment to our families, these families who have no homes, no place to go, because you're willing. There are ways that we meet needs every day just because we're willing, not because we're wealthy, not because we have incredible resources, or even in some ways incredible talents, but we have willing hearts. And when people ask about you and about this church, the way I define it is that we may be small, what the people in this church take seriously Jesus' call to be disciples. It gives me goosebumps just even thinking about it. You make God smile because you're taking it seriously. Don't stop. There is a cost, you know that. You give up time, you give up resources, but there is a joy that comes in that service as well. We all wonder how we'll be remembered at the end of our lives. My hope is that all of us will be remembered as God's disciples, faithful disciples who followed, who loved, who were willing. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of this life. We thank you for all the ways that you challenge us. It's not easy, Lord, we know that. But give us the tenacity, give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the wisdom to follow and to never give up. In Jesus' name, amen.